Common sense is tough to find today. Get your dose with me, Gary Wellings, at the Drift Radio Show. We'll tackle the tough national issues and cut no slack to the left or right. Catch my drift on Red Nation Rising Radio.
The highest quality tractor in the U.S. and number one in customer satisfaction for 2015 and again in 2016 is LS Tractor, both awarded by EDA. This is Mark at Ashelman Equipment. We have a full line of LS four-wheel drive diesel tractor loaders ready to go. Forks, blades, tillers, plows, and mowers in stock, ready for all your projects. Subcompact to large farm, open or cab with heat and AC. Hydro transmissions make driving fun and easy for the whole family. Attachments are changed with just a pull of a lever. Highest quality, more feature standard, 5-year warranty, free loader, and 1.59% financing qualifying. Ashelman Equipment in Whitmore Lake is at exit 50 on US 23, just north of Ann Arbor. Call 734-994-6000. That's 734-994-6000.
It's time to change your life. Lose up to 70% of your excess weight in the first year. Begin your journey with Michigan Bariatric Institute. Free monthly educational seminars at St. Joe's Livingston. Learn more at stjoeshealth.org/MBI.
Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk, intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome to The Drift. Good to have you along with us. We're not obviously at Wham Studios today. We're doing a special little Christmas edition with two of my best friends in the entire world, Joe Ballmer.
Good to see you, Gary.
And Pat Tavolacci.
Merry Christmas to all.
Hosting us down in the bunker at the Lava Tavolacci compound here in West Brighton. So glad to have you along. And hopefully this will turn out well and we'll be able to get it up on the website. So, gentlemen, lots happening in the world today, and I guess what we're kind of watching the news in silence as we sit here in the bunker. And the biggest news is the German attack this week, right? So, what do you think is the reason the Germans don't seem to have their stuff together? I mean, the guy walks away from that kind of, and nobody they picked up the wrong guy. What? How can that happen?
Well, the guy's been in surveillance for years since he entered Germany. The strategy of Angela Merkel is to invite a million refugees into their country, and I think it's probably one of her last major acts as Prime Minister of Germany, because with all the things that have gone on here recently, and specifically this attack, she's on the hook, period.
Yeah, Joe, you were talking before we started here that, you know, the one thing that you really like about Trump is his, you called it anti-Muslim. I think it's just, you know, if it were crazy Baptists from another part of the world, he'd be against the crazy Baptists from another part of the world. So I don't think it's a religious bias type of thing. I think there are just a group of people represented in this case, this time by Islam, right, that are creating havoc around the planet.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the list of terrorist activities that have happened in the world over the last 20-whatever years, I mean, I'm sure it goes back a long time, but particularly in the last 20 or so years, what seems to be the common denominator again and again? It's radicalized Muslims are behind it.
Right. Yeah, and you know, you talk about moderate Muslims, and hey, we've all got friends who happen to be Muslim. The one thing that bothers me is they don't seem to be talking enough as moderate Muslims about saying this is wrong. These people are not us. They're not standing up against these radicalized Muslims and saying enough is enough. That's not us. Let's help you get these people under control. They're not doing that.
Right. According to statistics of the 1.6 billion Muslims in the world, 7 to 8% of them say that there's justification for attacks against humanity perpetrated by Muslims because of their religion.
Yeah. Is that the Pew Research poll you're pulling
this
up there?
This is actually just down here on MP. This is NPR, actually.
Okay.
But yeah.
Ooh, the bad word. NPR.
No, I understand. But what NPR does do is reference things like the Pew Report,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're talking about 128 million people in the world that are radicalized.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that Pew Research poll showed that 40% or 30% of Muslims right here in the United States believed Sharia law should overrule the Constitution in this country. So even your moderate Muslims are a bit of a problem.
They are.
You know? And I guess for me, it's more than that. When we talk cultural suicide, which is what the Germans seem to be doing over there, even here in this country, if you are not familiar with the Quran, I would highly suggest people go out and buy a copy.
Yeah,
and
you've read it. You've read it cover to cover.
I'll be honest with you. In my mid-30s, right, I was kind of lost spiritually. I was looking for something. I'd been baptized as a Christian. I was Episcopalian. And I was looking for something different. So I bought a copy of the Quran. I read through it. And by the time I got to the end, it was like, this is a load of bunk for me. I mean, some people may like it, but it was a special dispensation. Any religion that puts one person and gives them favoritism above someone else, that's not equality. For me, that's not right. And that was it for me. I thought to myself, you know, Muhammad's a Democrat. One set of rules for him, but a different set of rules for everyone else.
Correct.
And when you look at places like Iran and Saudi Arabia, it seems to be the same thing. You know, the high and mighty get something special and the low class people get the shaft. And that is not me. And I don't like it. You know what I mean?
Well, it sounds like the Obama administration, quite frankly.
Yeah. You know, I work for a German firm and I'm over there 4 or 5 times a year. And I was over there actually last July when the attacks happened in Nice by a Tunisian. And I'm going to be over there again in January. And I work with very intelligent people over there. And I'm really looking forward to hearing firsthand from them to see, I kind of have my pulse on their, my finger on the pulse of their opinions. And I'm looking forward to seeing in January whether they're swaying a little bit on their, I would say, liberal view towards immigration.
Yeah. Right. Now, neither one of you have been traveling to France lately, right?
No.
I know you both travel a lot.
Yeah.
And you think Marine Le Pen is going to actually pull off something in France with those elections?
Yeah, it's entirely possible, right? I mean, there's a nationalism sweep going on, right? So that could absolutely.
And I've got some, certainly a couple sites in the work that I do that are down there in France, one outside of Paris and one in the south of France. And they're extremely troubled by what's going on. And I think nationalism is exactly the right word that Joe used. Brexit is the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. Yeah, I was happy. I had talked to a guy just before the Brexit, and he was from, and it was a guy I think you know, and he was kind of mixed about it happening or not. He was a little worried about the fallout economically, which I think has now proven itself not to be as disastrous as they thought it would be. And I think if that nationalism comes as part of self-preservation, and let's be honest, even if every Muslim in the world were honest, or not, that's a bad term, we're peaceful loving,
right,
they would still be outbreeding us and pushing the Sharia to the point where, you know what, they're going to make it hard for Christians and Jews and agnostics and even atheists to live. You know, it becomes part of that jizya, which is the payment, what infidels, as we are called, because that's what we are. We don't believe that. And so we suffer in some way or another. And that is the Quran. If you haven't read the Quran, it says, destroy the infidel. And it says, make them pay tax otherwise, you know. And people can interpret that in different ways. But there's never been a reformation in the Islamic community that the Christians had. You know what I mean? The Christians in the past, yes, they had their problems too. You know, don't go back to the Crusades. I'm going to blame the Crusades on the Muslims. That's not on the Christians. You know, people like Barack Obama want to twist it around and say it was the Christians invading. No, there were enclaves of Christendom in that area when the Muslims came in. So, hey, that's the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, there's radicalized sects in all over the world.
Yeah, in all religions.
But they're not doing what these folks are doing. The good news is that when you look at, you know, France, you look at Germany, and you look at some of these perpetrators here recently, they're on a list. Yeah. These people are being watched.
Yeah, and they're not being picked up and thrown out.
How do they slip through? How do you not get... So this individual doesn't get deported because Tunisia doesn't claim him on a passport. So he stays.
I didn't get that part at all.
I don't get it.
If you don't want him in your country and you can't prove... If he can't prove where he's from, dump him in the ocean, right? I mean... Game over, right? You're getting out of my country if you're a bad guy.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Give him the choice. I'm going to parachute you in somewhere. You're gone. I'm going to leave you in a rubber raft off the shores of Libya or wherever. Go back to where you think you can get along best with. You know what? No man's land in Syria. I'm going to take you off and drop you on a beach in Syria. You figure it out, man.
Well, how about this? How about Trump opens up a private sanctity in Guantanamo Bay for these folks and charges these countries for locking up these individuals in our prison system, our military prison system.
Well, yeah. Someone else is about to get that opportunity.
That's correct.
Yeah. Well, we're going to see, and I think this is, again, where Trump is on the right side of this. He's going to tell those countries that refuse to take back, say, Venezuelans or Costa Ricans, not Costa Rica, let's face it, but Hondurans, whatever, M13 gang members that they won't take them back when we want to deport them. I'm going to cut off their visas and everything else so that it makes it hard economically for them to exist if they won't take their people back. And I think that's just holding them accountable, right?
And where are the Muslim leaders standing up for their people, right? We said 128 million could be radicalized out of 1.6 billion. Where are the leaders saying, hey, these few don't represent us? I don't see any outrage in that community.
You know, I mean, I'm not in that community, so I don't know how they talk internally, okay? But clearly, I'm listening hard for someone to come out and say that.
Where is it?
And it just isn't prevalent.
No.
No, it's somebody needs to fix it. I'm hoping Trump is going to fix it. You know, you and I always think about what Trump will or will not do. It's going to be interesting to see what happens after January 20th when he gets into office. I have great expectations. I think a lot of us do. And there's going to be some really hurt feelings by some of us if he doesn't follow through, at least on the basics of securing the border.
Right.
You know, build a wall, be it a fence, a wall, or whatever. You know, I want something there, some kind of a barrier.
Well, here's the difference that I see in the cabinet that he's put together. And they're only worth about $13 billion collectively, FYI. Is they're business people. Business people have accountability. Politicians don't have accountability.
Correct.
So now if you're in charge of human services, if you're in charge of Homeland Security, you're going to have metrics. And if you can't deliver the metrics...
Yes, where's your deliverables?
Away, you're fired.
Yes. Get your deliverables together.
Absolutely. This is the difference in what's going on right now. You know, whether you agree with Trump and all the dynamics that he brings to the party or not, that, you know, all that's whatever. But his cabinet is going to be accountable.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm praying and hoping for, and that's what I see in what he's doing today.
Yeah, I was listening to a show the other day, and somebody brought up the idea of baseline budgeting, right, which is a disaster. That's what's got us to... $20 trillion in debt, where they just keep giving you the same budget plus an extra percent over the next year. And that's nonsense. You know, prove what you've got in your budget. Have you accomplished your deliverables in that period of time? If not, we're going to take money back out of that budget. And if you've accomplished everything but don't need any more, we're not going to give you the extra anymore either.
Yeah.
So lay somebody off.
Absolutely.
And to Pat's point, that's where businessmen operate differently.
Yeah.
Right.
And a politician never does, because you know what? That money is just an open purse for them.
And if you want to see that in real life here in the beautiful state of Michigan, on March 31st, look for the salt piles on your road in the last snow of the year.
Yeah.
Because the budget has to get met, so you dump the salt to get more salt. That's what Gary is talking about, instead of zero-based budgeting, which is what I have to live by in business. Joe, I'm sure you have to live by as well.
You can be sure.
It's show me from zero to your budget how you need to get there. Yes, last year already happened. What are we doing now?
Right. Well, let's kind of change venue a little bit here. Let's talk fake news, because this kind of ties in a way. This morning on the news, and I put it on the Daily Drift, and if you're not going to the Daily Drift, you should be, www.thedailydrift.com. It's the news site, a news aggregate that I put together for you. It's the links to all the news you need to know, but you don't get it at the mainstream media. So make sure you're going to thedailydrift.com. I go through a lot of effort to put that out there for you every day. And use that, spread it around on your social media. Now, if you're not on social media, get so. I'm on Facebook. I don't use it as much anymore. Joe, you're still a Facebook guy.
On occasion.
And Pat, you're still a Facebook
guy. I am, yes.
Are either one of you on Twitter?
I dabble in it a little bit, but it's just, I just don't have enough.
It takes time.
I just don't have enough to do it all.
It does. I prefer the Twitter. I almost said the Twitter. Doesn't that make me an old man? I'm on the Twitter now.
Twitters.
But I like dealing with my tweets on Twitter. So, but it's kind of nice because you can get immediate feedback that you don't always get from Facebook. Facebook, I may Facebook something to you and it'll be a day or whatever. Twitter, you're getting instantaneous because somebody's watching. You're in their feed and they're responding to you immediately, which is why I like Twitter. But Twitter and Facebook both have that issue of some shenanigans going on because Mark Zuckerberg, who is uber liberal, is now kind of twisting things and twisting data on Facebook to help the liberals. He tried very much to try and get Hillary elected. And Jack Dorsey, who owns Twitter, he's actually a minority owner now. Guess who bought most of Twitter up?
Do tell.
Saudi Arabia. Okay, so once again, you're dealing with an issue of people behind the scenes who have motives that may not be the best for us here in the United States. And so both those are kind of getting twisted and manipulated and biased. And so what I recently switched over to was Gab, GAB.AI.
Yeah, you've been talking about that
a
lot.
And Gab is really phenomenal because there is no filtering. There is no funny monkey business. What's trending is what's trending truthfully. So when you get on the Gab, beware, put your big boy pants on, because Gab will have some things that you don't like and you may not agree with. But if you want to close your bubble up, you can self-censor. You can filter those people out if you don't want them or their ideas. And that's what's nice about Gab. So there is no censoring other than censoring yourself. So that's really nice about Gab. But it's become one of these things where people can get into whatever. So you may see the fake news that, you know, the mainstream media has put out there. Now they tried blaming the Russians and Bernie and everybody else for Hillary's loss. And now the most recent thing after this Russian escapade is the fake news.
Right.
And let's face it, when it comes to fake news, the mainstream medias are the biggest purveyors of fake news, right? Talking about Hillary and her being in Bosnia under fire, that's fake news, and yet they were all about it when it happened.
Absolutely.
You know, nobody held her accountable to that. So fake news is all over the place. But let us decide. That's up to you. There's no excuse for a human being who has complete access to the internet not to double-check your sources.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, while you were talking, just quickly Googled something here. The Daily Dot, which got a report from Zimdars, has a list of 58 fake news sites that purvey on Facebook. Yeah. Now, whether they're all fake or not, that's a different discussion.
Yeah.
But here's the data.
Yeah.
Do your homework and determine which is the right source of information.
So
for you.
That website is telling that these are fake websites. Name some of those off so we can hear them, and then we can double check ourselves.
AmericanNews.com, Politicalo, Activist. It even has Bipartisan Report. It even has on here Breitbart.
Yeah.
So you've got to be you've got to do your homework, right?
Yeah.
Because again, just like fake news, the lists have to be checked. Trust and verify, as our friend Ronald Reagan used to say.
Yes.
Right? So all these things are just opportunities for you to do your research and make sure that what you're reading and what is leading you, your thoughts, something that you can trust.
But I mean, in America, you have true investigative journalists, professional investigative journalists. And some of them may have a liberal slant, and some of them may have a conservative slant. But these are people who are doing their homework, and they're subject to, you know, review by their editor, okay? And they're going to have some facts that you could probably believe in. You got to figure out who those people are, right? Versus the people who are sitting at home and typing up controversial things, complete fiction. And you've got to learn how to filter that out.
Yeah. And you have to look at it, because even the mainstream media is doing that same thing. They're putting out, you know, people in the New York Times. So when you're going to label fake, if you're going to label Breitbart fake news, then you certainly have to label the New York Times fake
news. Absolutely.
Because
right.
they've probably been wrong far more often than Breitbart has been. So it is up to you to take a look at it. What I don't like is the fact that Facebook is now moving to that point where they're going to set up Snopes and three or four other sites as the purveyors of what is and what is not fake news. And Snopes itself is a liberal site. It's funded by liberals, and they've been proven to be a liberal site with their own bias. So for Zuckerberg to do that, I'm not sure is the smartest move on his part. I think it's going to drive people away. I've been getting driven away slowly but surely. I don't do a whole lot on Facebook anymore.
He's protecting his money. Let's be crystal clear here. So he's going to do whatever he can do to save face in light of all this fake news that came out in the election period. You're going to come up with lists like these. These lists are going to be slanted also, right? Depending on who gives you the list, they're going to be liberal-based. They're going to be right-wing-based. It depends on the whole dynamic. So as a person that wants to get informed, you've got to see all the information, and you've got to take it with a grain of salt into what your morals are and what you believe in, because you're going to get all the information you want. It's what's relevant, what's real, what isn't.
But Gary, I'd like a comment from you on something.
Sure.
Okay, if you look at all the news that's out there, does Donald Trump, he's won the election, so he's no longer trying to win voters anymore. The media may have an influence on his popularity vote. Does he care? Can he do his policies and implement his policies in spite of whatever the media writes? Can he just ignore them?
I think he is going to ignore the media, because I think he's gone beyond the media, and I think that's why you're hearing Reince Priebus say, you know, we're going to rethink the press corps. It's not going to be just the same old press corps. They're going to do it a little differently. And you may see CNN not get a spot in the press corps, because they've been so jaded and they've been so brutal to him. And you know what? CNN is as guilty as anybody of fake news. You can pull all kinds of stuff up.
Yeah.
And so he, I think when they say, is he going to keep his Twitter account? I think he should keep his Twitter account. Okay. Because, you know, he can go directly to you and I and Pat and anyone else who has an account, get it out there. And even if you don't have Twitter, it's going to make the news.
But with that comes responsibility. And here's an area where I would be somewhat critical of Mr. Mm-hmm. Trump. You can, in 2012, make a tweet suggesting that the Electoral College is not a good thing, and then come out 4 years later and say it's a great thing. People are allowed to change their opinions. I have no trouble with that. But the Electoral College didn't change during those 4 years.
No.
So where, you know, the first tweet that went out that was critical of it, had he done his homework before sending such a tweet?
Obviously not. No, he wouldn't have done his homework.
And the point is valid. And to think that he's going to somehow change his stripes completely, to me, is ludicrous. Will he move? Will he be better? Yeah, but let's be clear about who he's assigning. You think Wilbur Ross, the Commerce Secretary, is going to care about what the media says? Absolutely not. So the people that he's putting around, if people are going to be asking for policy and making policy changes and telling Donald Trump what's best for that department, those people are going to be ready to roll, and they're not going to be tweeting at 3 a.m. Donald probably will. And I think he'll get better. But at the end of the day, what I'm focused on personally right now is who he's putting around him. And these are business people and a spattering of, your normal political folks, Reince Priebus, etc. But I really like the genesis of what this foundation is, because it's a mix.
There is some politicos in there. I think taking Reince Priebus, granted, he's an insider, he's the establishment, whatever you wanted to call him. But as they said, he's a day-to-day manager. He's the guy. So, and you have to pull that together. You have to pull some of those establishment Republicans in. Yeah, absolutely. And I think what Donald Trump is, I guess, Joe, What I'm kind of thinking is, at this point, it's not a money issue for Trump, right? Never was. If money was all he cared about, he sure as hell would not have run for president of the United States, because this has done nothing but cost him money. Money that he spent and lost business wages and whatever else he's lost. I think at this point, and this is what makes me very happy, he's got skin in the game. He now has to prove to the American people, I'm going to do what you told me. These are my deliverables. And I'm going to surround myself with the proper people to, A, get the economy stoking by deregulating what we need to deregulate, by changing the tax code to get money to come back here. And I think that's going to happen. That I think, is probably the hugest thing. If you can get the corporate tax rate, down to 15%, we'll be the lowest in the world again, right?
Incredible amount of wealth that you're going to generate.
And do whatever it takes to get those companies to bring the money back. Or give them a break, whatever, one-time amnesty on bringing that money back.
Right.
And let's start building some manufacturing and get some people back to work.
Look, what Trump understands is that if you're the smartest guy in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that's the difference between him, just that 30,000 feet, the difference between him and the last president is that President Obama wants to be the smartest man in the room. Obama wants to put his spin on it. He wants to sign his executive orders. He wants to do it himself. And that's the difference between him and Trump. So the people that he puts around him are going to be absolutely critical to what happens going forward. And we're going to have to deal with some fallout, Joe, of Twitters. Because he's going to send them, and they're going to be moronic at times, and sometimes they're going to be sub-moronic. But that's him, and that's why he's here.
And as we were saying before the show, at age 51, which I am now, I'm looking forward to 4 to 8 years of the greatest economy imaginable. These are my final big money-making years, hopefully. Right. And, you know, I'm all in.
Yeah, I'm feeling more optimistic now than I've probably felt in 30 years. And just looking, I think the country's feeling that way because, according to the last poll, the American public's opinion is growing by leaps and bounds. And even though some people may say, oh, he's surrounding himself with billionaire business people, well, that may be. But you know what? Don't you want smart people who know how to make money in charge of running the economy?
Absolutely.
You know, that's what you don't put poor people in charge of an economy, because you know what? Poor people don't know how to make money. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
They know. And we've got to get the right people around him. And I mean, you don't think that our Secretary of State in waiting can have a meaningful policy conversation with Russia?
Yeah. Well, let's get into it.
They've got as much to lose. Russia has as much to lose by a guy like that coming into the parlor and having a conversation than they have to win.
Yeah.
So to me, it was a perfect fit because those countries that we trade with, those countries that maybe we were scoffed at here in the last 8 years, they have to recognize what Tillerson's going to bring to the party now. I think that's a complete difference than sitting around and getting crumpets and tea and having the same conversation about talking at each other instead of talking to each other.
Right. Yeah, and let's find out how you guys feel about Russia, because, you know, when I look at the media and I look at the liberals and I even look at some of the progressive Republicans, they're all making the Russian boogeyman. Vladimir Putin's a boogeyman. He's a murdering thug, blah, blah, blah. That may be the fact. He was a KGB agent for years, right? Yeah. And you don't just erase that part of a man's, you know, he's conniving, he's smart, he's dangerous. Yes, he is. But I'd rather work with him in some kind of a Northern European alliance. And let's face it, I don't think Russia would ever want a nuclear war, because
absolutely,
you know what happens if nuclear bombs fall on the United States, North America? It blows with the westerly winds over to Europe and into Russia. So there's no way the Russians would want a nuclear war with us. It's just not going to happen.
No, it's not.
But that's madness. That doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. But what is compelling is that, you know, Putin thinks right now that he's got a superior military position over everybody, including the United States. He sees these mothballed planes. He sees these jets and sitting there, these old planes and old technology. So does Donald Trump. And Donald Trump is saying, we're gonna revolutionize our military. And He had Lockheed and Boeing both yesterday.
Yep.
In his Trump Tower estate, which, by the way, I had a chance to visit last weekend. It was awesome with all the armed guards in front. Well done. But he has these people, and he says, look, Lockheed, the F-35, it's way out of control from a cost perspective. Get it right. Boeing, you want two new 747s part of Air Force One? Cut the cost. Get right. Don't jam us. This is the kind of conversation that's going to not only help from a business perspective, but it's going to help us compete militarily because these people are going to be on watch on what they sell to the government.
Yeah, and that's something you see with government all the time. You guys have been in the business world forever. And one thing I see a lot of in government contracts, be it at a sewer line going in or an office building for government being built, you see these contingency fees, right? When they budget out, they'll put in 20% contingency fee. Listen, man, if you are the winner of a contract with a private company, you're going to perform that deliverable for that price. There's, I mean, some cases a contingency, but normally not. You're on the hook for doing that. And I don't know why the government allows these giant contingency fees. Do your homework, put in a bid that's realistic, and perform it. So let's say the F-35. What's with the open checkbook and it's $5 billion over budget? How do you become $5 billion over budget?
Yeah, unless, the only reason in business that you get away with cost creep or, cost creeping upwards would be if the contractor or the government, the customer, changes the statement of work.
That's right.
Right? And so if the government is truly not changing the statement of work, you have no out.
Right.
Yeah, the contingency needs to be make the product on time and on budget, and the contingency is you'll get paid.
Yes.
If those things don't happen, then you're going to get paid less.
Yeah. And I think that's what's come with, what people in government think of as the open pocketbook. All right, we'll pay 20%. No, we're not going to pay you a 20% contingency fee. You should have been aware of that possibility of something going wrong. That's on you.
Absolutely.
It's not on the government. And I'm glad to see that hopefully there's going to be a cleaning out, a purge in Washington, D.C., of getting rid of the people who have just been given the blank checks to these contractors, be it in the military or be it in aviation or something else. You know what I mean? So I want to make sure that that happens. It boggles my mind to see that kind of thing.
Well, it's back to the expectations and the accountability. And what we're seeing, again, we don't know anything. The guy he's not in office yet. But what we do see is when you look at, is there smoke? Will there be fire? When you look at the smoke about the people that he's put in front of us as his cabinet, it leads me to believe that we're going to be accountable for what we do. And that's pleasing to me.
Yeah.
Now, they got to do it.
Right.
Okay, let's not celebrate. Yeah, the guy's not in office yet. But right now, what he's telling me with the people he's putting in front of us, and there's some dogs in here, right? I mean, there's going to be some shuffling. A guy like Wilbur Ross, who I've had a chance to do business with in the past, in my old days in the automotive business, the guy's brilliant. Now, is he a cutthroat? Yeah, he's a cutthroat. He's a businessman. But he's ethical, and he's going to do the right thing, and he's going to be accountable for what he does. And the people that work in his department are going to be accountable too. Guaranteed.
Yeah. And, so he is doing those things. It makes you wonder, is he going to go through? And one of the reasons I thought he was talking to Romney a lot was not necessarily for the Secretary of State. I was wondering if he was going to look at Romney and say, General Accounting Office, because we're going to start getting rid of departments, and maybe this is something he's good at. Now, I think the backlash has been so bad that he's not going to touch Romney other than maybe call him up for advice occasionally. But, will we see the Department of Education at the federal level get smaller under DeVos, right? Will she make it smaller and return everything back to the states like she's saying? I hope that happens.
Well, her record says that she will because she's about... Now, again, folks in the DEA, don't listen right now. But what she's about is she's about vouchers, which the jury's out. Okay, they don't work. That's clear. But they don't not work either. So there's the truth somewhere in the middle. She's also for charter schools. So when you look at the things that she's for, again, it's back to the accountability. If you want to be part of the solution in Detroit and you want to be a charter school, you deliver, you go to business.
Yeah.
You don't keep continue to get funded year after year after $515 million we just gave to the Detroit education system.
Yeah.
Alone?
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's money we threw away. Because it's not going to be, there's no accountability there.
Yeah. There's no accountability.
Well, clearly, we have principals who keep going to jail for
that's right.
taking money.
For, they're right. They're, you know, they hit the easy button, Joe.
Yeah.
Because it's easy at Staples to get your money, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah, I tell you what I do like is the school of choice. Because I look like out here where we live. We live in the Brighton area, the South Lyon, the Whitmore Lake, the Pinckney schools. And Brighton is doing very well as a school of choice because I think all their slots are filled up every year, right?
Yeah.
There is no openings left in Brighton because people like, even down by me, Whitmore Lake used to be a terrible school.
Yeah.
It's gotten much better. And that's because there's competition. All these districts, Pinckney, South Lyon, Brighton, Whitmore Lake, have all now gone school of choice. And it's up to each of those school districts to offer something better. Something more unique, perhaps?
Compete.
They're competing.
Well, sure. You know, I mean, if you look at Brighton, I mean, I'm not completely up to date on it, but you know, a few years ago, I think they added, you know, hour zero, where kids who wanted, they wanted to be able to offer even more AP classes at the high school. So they offered AP classes, and they added an extra hour early in the morning to have a bunch of classes fill up with kids who were ambitious to learn. You know, when you make that kind of offering to the people, they're going to come.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are going to come. But I think the other thing that hopefully we get to, I mean, when we talk about the loans, and I mean, we're getting on tangents here, but we talk about the student loan dynamic and just going to college and all the rest, that's not the answer for everybody just to go to college. It's to get a skill.
Yeah.
If that's education, that's great. How about the vocational dynamics? That's got to be part of this solution when we talk about education. Whether it's vouchers, whether it's you know, ability to move outside of your city to go to school, like people in Detroit do today. You can go to Sterling Heights School and go to class if you want. But also, are we going to start developing shop class again? Are we going to start putting, you know, charter schools that have a trade dynamic to them? It's absolutely something we need to do. And not hammering a nail.
Right.
We're talking about the skills of the future.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at best practices, okay, and as business people, we look at lessons learned from the past, we look at best practices amongst our competition, and we find the best way to do things. There are some things that the Germans do very well in their education system. They don't try to make everyone go down the same path. They have a clearly defined path. There's a vocational path, and there's the gymnasiums, you know, the upper high schools for the college-bound kids. And they do a great job of training people for vocations,
yeah.
And they identify it early, and yet, you know, they misidentify on occasion, okay? Yeah. But they do it right, and you end up with a lot of very trained people in the vocations.
That's yeah, and I think that's something, even from when we were in high school, you know, think about the kids that went to voc ed when we were in high school back in the 70s, right? Yeah. They sent the kids that couldn't make it any other way to voc ed. And so you wonder why 30 years later, your roads and your hospitals and your buildings and your trades are not good. Because why? You shoved all the people who had the worst inclination into vocational trades.
Right.
You know, and then you wonder 30 years later why things aren't as good or why a road can't get built right.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with a good trade, be it electrical, plumbing, or anything else. I can tell you, plumbers make as much as a good plumber makes as much as an attorney.
Yeah, have you tried to change the oil on your car?
that's right.
So I mean, these guys are making hundreds of dollars an hour.
Yeah, you need to change that stigma in the junior high and high school that, you know what, there's nothing wrong with metal shop. There's nothing wrong with the mechanics class. There's nothing wrong with any of those vocational trades because, you know what, those are necessary. And what does bother me is the fact that in the trades, vocational trades, the painting, the drywall, the carpentry, the bricklaying, all those, you used to be able to make a good living
yeah.
as a carpenter, as a painter. And I painted my way through college, right? And
yeah.
You guys painted too,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And at some point, the immigration got to such a level that you could no longer make that. I remember back when we all painted together and I had that company, I used to get $150 to paint a two-bedroom apartment, right?
Yeah.
Labor.
Right.
And when Some Mexican guys came in and did it for 90. I could no longer afford to pay the guys that worked with me to do that.
Absolutely.
So it came back to what? Immigration.
Yeah.
You know, too many people for not enough jobs. And unless you control that border, you're going to have people come in here. And having an illegal immigrant work a job is bad enough, right? But the money they take and ship back out of the country, that's reducing our own GDP, right?
Yeah. Just go. I invite the listeners, when they're on their beautiful vacation in San Diego, to drive 20 minutes south and go down to the border and go on I-5 and look to the left at 8 o'clock in the morning and watch the traffic jam from the border all the way past San Diego into Los Angeles. Every day, and then switch it at 5 o'clock, same drill. More people are coming in by mountains than are going out.
Yeah.
And that touches some of the point. And they're doing the low skill trade type
yes.
stuff, right? They're not yeah. pipe fitters.
Right.
These guys are painting, doing the things, and God bless them, right? You want to work, come work. But do it legally.
Do it legally.
According to the system. But train our people for the jobs of tomorrow. The sophisticated mechanics, the different computer skills that you need from hardware and software. These things are very viable trades that we can start teaching our people instead of how to accumulate loan debt.
Right. And that's one of the things I hope Trump also addresses, the H-1B, because what was the story? They took away our manufacturing jobs, shipped them out in NAFTA, and said, we're going to retrain you into technology and computers and all those high-skilled jobs.
Oops.
Right. All right. So they did that. And all of a sudden now, and we've each seen it in the companies that we've worked for in the last few years, all of a sudden they can bring a guy in from India who's got a degree, and he may be a very smart, hardworking guy, granted. But instead of paying an American with the same skills, $80,000, they're going to pay him $60,000.
Period.
So the H-1Bs are now screwing us out of our high-tech jobs that you retrain us for out of manufacturing.
That's right.
You know, that's just aggravating to me. What do you expect us to do as Americans? Be on the dole? Be unemployed, die?
Well, that's in the last 8 years, that was the picture moving forward. It was like, okay, well, we got the unemployment rate under control, 5 or 6%, but we got the underemployment role huge. And we got 4 million more people in poverty as a result in the last 8 years. That's not the country I want to be part of. I want to be part of the country that people want to work and they're trained and skilled to work. And that's what we need to do. And stop shipping these jobs out. Start investing in ourselves and getting the skills that we need to be competitive out in the workforce.
Yeah. Now, TPP's dead. I think we know that. There's no way it's going to get past Trump, even if it managed to get through the Senate and the House. Yeah. What do you think's going to happen with NAFTA? Does Trump's been talked about it. He said he's going to do it. He's going to renegotiate NAFTA. What do you think, Joe? What's going to happen with
that? That's going to be a real interesting one to watch that roll out, right? I mean, if you go back to, you know, Ross Perot, in my mind, nailed it. He said, you know, I mean, listen to that large sucking sound from the South, right? And I mean, could the guy have been more right? And here was a billionaire businessman.
That's right.
Who knew exactly what was going to happen.
And made waves when he was running. Big waves.
Was winning the election
Absolutely.
In September.
That's right.
Okay. Before he dropped out for some mysterious reason.
Right.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm watching it closely.
It'll soften. I mean, you're not going to abolish that, okay? But you're going to soften it. It's going to be different rules, and I think it's all part of the whole strategy and dynamics about how do we get corporate wealth back in this country? How do we get take care of our own? How do we also take care of our neighbors and allies at the same time? And it's going to be a mix of all those things. It's just not going to be, hey, because of NAFTA, you can make all your cars in Mexico and bring them back in here scot-free. That's not going to fly.
Well, you know, I think what's been kind of interesting, though, is even since NAFTA was implemented, there has been somewhat of a move to have manufacturing in the southern United States. If you look at what's happened in Alabama and Texas and South Carolina, for example, you know, there has been, you know, major auto plants go into the southern United States, despite the fact that NAFTA existed. And I think we texted each other about this recently, Gary, you know, if the United States makes ourselves a little more competitive on the corporate tax rates and all these on these issues, then we don't have to implement, you know, tariffs on,
right.
on Mexico. We can draw these companies into the United States through competitiveness.
Yeah. I think part of that tariff talk that you see from Trump is the carrot and the stick. It's part of that art of the deal. It's that negotiation. And I think the company's carrier and these and that guy from Japan that said he's going to invest $50 billion here,
yeah.
they know that the sweet spot is the less regulations, the better corporate tax rate coming in. It's going to be worth it for them to come back. And let's face it, on the whole, we're probably still the safest country in the world. You don't have to worry about a coup. You don't have to worry about giant drug dealers here yet. I mean, it's coming down on the southern border. They're worrying about it. But it's still the safest place to put your money and invest. And I think by having that lack of regulations, not lack of regulations, but less stringent regulations and making it more pro-business, you're going to bring in a buttload of business into the country.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you want to see decline, go down to West Virginia. Those folks, you can argue all you want about the environmental piece of coal mining and all the rest of that stuff, and its, you know, its importance in the world today. It's an option. Clean coal is an option. This is something that Trump is going to look at as part of his strategy, just as well as solar and electric and all the rest of the dynamics have to be in play. Everything's got to be on the table because you can't afford in a country of 300 plus million people to have a state that doesn't work.
Yeah.
That's just not going to fly. Yeah, so we've got to find an industry there and maybe they're retrain them, do something else, but there's got to be a way. And these smart businessmen and people that he's putting in front of us will find a way to make clean coal a way for those West Virginians to make a living because they deserve to make a living. They're part of the American dream just like anybody else.
Right.
And we've got to look out for those cities, the Elkharts. You know, all these little enclaves of cities outside of cities and major cities as well that have to be brought back up to code, if you will, with the skills of today.
Yeah. I concur completely. And, you know, as we kind of wind down the show here, because the time actually flew right by, we're already at 46 minutes here. I want to remind people that it is Christmas time, right? And we should probably take some time out during the holidays here to thank our families and our friends for maybe putting up with us. I'm sure this has been probably the worst election ever in my history. And I think it's torn some families apart. I think it's torn friends apart. And, you know, when I watch what Hillary Clinton is still trying to do with the recount and now saying the Russians did this, you know what? Let's just get behind. You know, I wasn't happy when Barack Obama was elected on either time. And I've been probably one of his harshest of critics. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But he's the president. I'm not trying to throw him out. And that's get right. him done. You know, we'll give Trump a chance because I think people are going to be very happy, and some people will be surprised that he's, you know, he's not the crazy right winger that the liberals want to make him out to be. You know, what the Republicans were worried about him not being Republican enough, it's probably true from a social standpoint. He's not.
Yeah, but when you look
at super conservative Republican,
but when you look at his cabinet, he's got the mix.
Yeah,
he's got your super, you know, the Haleys and all the rest of these people that are quote unquote super conservative on his cabinet, yeah. prospective cabinet. So he's making, he's inclusive. And I see that as the major difference. And you're right. Barack Obama is the president of the country that we live in. And I'll never forget Barack Obama for the things that he's done. I've been a critic also of what he's done. The guy didn't ruin the country, okay? But what he did was he forgot the values that he ran upon. He changed virtually nothing except for healthcare. And all he did was change it for the worse.
Yeah.
And he's got that to stand on. He's got his executive orders to stand on. It's going to be a pretty short book when he writes it here after he gets out of office. I'm sure they'll fill it with a bunch of fluff. But at the end of the day, can he stand on the accomplishments and the legacy that he put forth? And then Trump has to be accountable for the same conversation. Can Trump stand by it at the end of the day also?
The election is won. It's time to execute.
Period.
D.
Yeah. In time, in 2 years, we can, or 1 year, the next year's State of the Union address, we can look back and see how the first year went, and let's all hope that it's going the right way.
Yeah.
So your hope, Joe, for the new year?
Well, for 2017, I hope there's not another election, but 2016 was a great year in for a lot of us in Detroit area, right? And let's hope that the so many of our jobs in this area are tied to the auto industry. Let's hope that that continues. It's a great year. I think we did 17, 18 million years.
17 and a half, SAR.
17 and a half. So let's hope that that continues. But most importantly, all of our, we're blessed with great families, and let's just hope that things continue to go as great as they've gone.
Yeah. Pat, you?
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to everybody out there. I think 16 was a great year. We'll put it behind us, and 17's in front of us, and let's go forward together.
Great. Sounds good. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in, and let's leave with little Bob Marley and call it a great Happy New Year and a Merry Christmas to all of you. And thank you for tuning into The Drift. Go to thedailydrift.com, stay up, and have a great New Year. Take care.
It's been 5 years since we met Kelly Brighton, just before her weight loss surgery.
I was almost 300 pounds. Because of the Michigan Bariatric Institute, I've lost the weight. I now have the tools to keep it off. I am a better mom, I am a better wife, and I'm just a better Kelly Brighton, I think.
Begin your journey. Try a free monthly educational seminar at St. Joe's Livingston. Visit stjoeshealth.org/MBI to learn more.
I'm Gary Wellings, Chief Editor of The Current. To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current newspaper is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown to 6 times its size since 2007 because we have a unique venue for local content, common sense opinion, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes for mere pennies apiece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Sam Iaquinto at 734-323-0777. That's 734-323-0777. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.